Here's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial.
Ray, I know you do color, I know you do radio, but in the spirit of the Ottawa Senators submitting a list, what are two things at TSN you would not do? We can maybe go around the horn.
What do you mean, I would not do?
Yeah, like teams you would, like, would you not do SportsCenter hosts? Would you not?
Oh, I think my days of the 6 a.m. start are over. I think that would be on my no-trade list, my no-do list.
Yeah.
Listening to any extra Quizmaster meeting.
I think that might be number one on my list.
I think we all had that one.
No, I'm telling him you guys said that.
One of my favorite things that I've ever seen happen was in his old office, right on the corner out past where the studios are for you guys. Darren Pang was in. We were doing, I don't know what we were doing, and the Quizmaster had gone out to get a drink. And so we went in and broke all his pencils and put them neatly back into his drawer and sat in the back like a couple of seven-year-olds to watch him just be infuriated that there was no pencil to write with.
Hazy, what would you not do at this building?
It's so mature. It's just such a ridiculously immature thing.
Didn't you hide the pencil sharpener too, Ray?
Well, we took the bottom end of it.
Yeah.
Like the bottom end where you collect all the sharpness. Oh, yeah. I just love that stuff. It's so me.
What would you not do, Hazy?
I don't know, man. That's a good question. What would
I couldn't do Kara's job because I need, if I'm like just out of it, I need someone to look at where you're like, save me.
Yeah, like a solo SportsCenter host would be tough. Like just being dropped into that without any prep. Like you're up in 5 minutes, you have to go. I've never done play-by-play. I feel like I would just chew my tongue off. And
we tried it in London at the rookie tournament 1 year.
It was brutal.
Awful.
Yeah, really awful and horrible.
Me? One up, one down. I have so much appreciation for what Ray and Jamie do, being down on the ice. But I've always watched the game from up above.
Oh, you don't like being, you wouldn't want to be in between the benches?
I'm just saying, that would be the one that I think.
I see.
It would be daunting for me.
Did you guys hear what happened to Brian Hayward last night?
No.
He was doing the game.
The guy smashed his stick and broke his monitor.
Yeah. Justin Falk was sour, and he smashed his stick on the boards and smashed his iPad in half.
Ooh.
That's a tough one to come back from.
Yeah, that one stinks.
That'll teach you. Don't bring any technology down there. Bad news.
Well, you just phrased the no-trade list as no-do list, and it actually made me think, like, this whole Carlson stuff, if you're not familiar, Carlson acknowledged today, the elephant in the room, that he did hand in his 10-team no-trade list to Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Sens. But that's being such, like, it's such a diplomatic way of phrasing it. Shouldn't it be more, like, in no way in hell am I going to that team. These are 10 teams that I will never sway on. Don't talk to me about it. I hate them. I hate the city. I hate the rink. And I'm not going there. Like, wouldn't that be more exciting if they phrased it a little bit differently?
Yeah, it would be tough to put on the top of the paper, though.
It would.
No trade is much easier.
Right.
Here's what I understand. I ran into an executive today and was talking to him about this no trade stuff. And most teams, this is a clerical thing, he was explaining, that they do in September, like before the season. That it's kind of updated because it's in your contract. If you've got a five-year contract, it's in it 5 years in a row, and it gets updated in September. So this is a little different. If they just went to them now, you know, say your name had been connected to three or four cities via rumors. Would you not just update them if you didn't like those teams and say, those teams.
Right.
I don't want to go there. So I found it interesting that maybe this stuff is done or was done prior to the season, but if it was done just recently, it seems more than a little bit awkward.
Yeah, I was told it was done recently.
Which is goofy, isn't it?
Oh, man. Can you imagine what that locker room is like right now? Hey, what team, which 10 teams did you put on? Hey, which five did you have on?
But if you're doing
why would you talk about anything else?
But when you're asked by the manager,
is it like a slap on the wrist? Is it saying, you guys are so bad, I want to know the teams right now? Like, what? I don't know what the hell message that is.
It's not a good message. So let me ask you this, and I'll put it out to Ray and to Brian and to Jeff. You know, it was a sad day when Brian Murray died, but they are really missing the experience and the wisdom of Brian Murray, I think, in Ottawa. Do you guys agree?
I do.
Go ahead, Ray.
Sorry, Jeff. I do, because the ability to bounce something off experience, even if you've got to make that final decision, is probably invaluable in the manager's chair. I mean, you sat there, Craig.
It is invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure there are days when you've got a stack of decisions to make, and each one is more important than the last. But right now, given where Ottawa is, how does this team possibly come back from this? I mean, it's already virtually impossible to dig out of the hole they're in. But how would you come back from this?
Well,
I don't get it.
Yeah, and that's the hard thing. Do you know Al McNeil, Ray?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, Al was in Calgary and I was there, and he used to be great. So you'd come up with an idea and you'd talk about it, and then Al would inevitably take you back to the 70s with Montreal or the early 80s with Calgary, and he'd tell you about what went wrong. You go, yeah, okay, we're not doing that. That was the wisdom. That was the experience that he just told you, we were there. Here's what happened during this time. And you go, okay, got it.
But the thing is, I guess to be fair to Pierre Dorion, even if Brian Murray were there, or anybody, you move Lamorello there or Rutherford there, any longstanding GM, the owner is still the owner.
But Brian Murray could say, listen, this is not the time to go and ask players for no trade or where they'd like to go.
Right.
And he could tell the owner that.
But if the owner says thank you for that.
This should have been done in September.
Yeah, absolutely, Ray.
If that is a way that it is done, it's updated every September. Then you never have to ask anybody.
Well, I was going to say, aren't these things put on paper when the contract is signed and you already know the answers?
But they can be updated all the time. It's worded in a way that says, you know, by such and such a date every year, it might be July 15th, it might be September 1st, you have to update it. I mean, there's some in there that say, listen, you can change it, you know what, you know, four times during the year if you want to change your list. And you have to ask.
There's also a clause in some, apparently, that says by request.
Yeah.
So that there isn't necessarily a date, September 1st. It could be that the team could request that list at any time. Right. So I guess that would protect them in front of the trade deadline, for example.
Right. And it just says you have to provide 10 teams. You might not even provide the 10 teams, but when you ask for it, you go, okay, who are the 10 teams? I need it now.
Well, do any of us really think Erik Karlsson's getting traded between now and the trade deadline?
I think they have to do some honest assessment and stop thinking that you're going to keep this guy. If the owner decides the money's going to be too steep, they already have a ballpark idea what the price is going to be. We're talking about a guy that was regarded as the third best player in the league. So we all know the general number, whether it's 11, 12, more than that. If you can't make it work, you got to move him and stop pretending. Stop lying to the fan base and try to move on.
But I would say our experience over the last few years is any significant trades of that nature, they're around the draft. They're not now. Like, who's going to destroy their team right now to make a deal that you would have to make for Karlsson? And when I say destroy, I mean completely uproot what you're doing for a player of Karlsson's stature. And if you're the Senators, why would you take anything that would fluctuate as much as a draft pick could between now and the end of the year? Is that team going to draft 6th or 17th? You don't know. So that one I don't see. But Hoffman, Pajot, Ceci, who are the other names we're hearing around?
Well, Phaneuf if he waived, but that's such a big ticket.
Yeah,
who's
but
taking
that's
that
too long. Zach Smith. Like, those are the guys I think that are most likely. Luke Robitaille told me this great line one time. We were at the trade deadline, and I said, are you worried about being traded? And we were riding the bike in the dressing room in L.A., and he says, I got a no trade. I said, really? And he said, because there was not many back then. He said, yeah, 13 goals, $3.5 million, no trade.
Right.
And so Bobby Ryan is not available for trade. He's got one goal, and he's got 5 years at $7 million left.
Well,
no trade.
Let me ask you this. Hypothetically, do you think Matt Duchene would be available for trade? Do you think any other team in the league would call them up and say, I'll take that?
Man, could you imagine how you would have to swallow? Oh, you would have to swallow hard your ego to even consider that deal. I would say no.
Imagine
he's not
that.
Going anywhere right
he
now.
Just got dealt like a month ago.
Yeah, for like the guy they were dying to get, and now they're like, probably can't get rid of this guy.
You couldn't get rid of him a month later.
So I'm gonna.
That's nuts.
I'm just gonna pose it, Ray. And the first thing I look at with Carlson is cap space. And mm-hmm. the team I'm looking at is New Jersey. Lots of cap space and some good young players. So Damon Severson is signed long term. They have Michael McLeod. They have Pavel Zacha. Is that a place where you, if you're Ray Sherrill and the New Jersey Devils, you start saying to the, like, I'm phoning Ottawa if I'm Ray Sherrill and I'm proposing something, and those are three guys that I'd be moving
real
quick.
You go ahead. I would say that's a nice proposal, Craig. We'll start with Hischier, please.
You have to. If you're talking about Erik Karlsson.
Okay, that's fine, though. But I'm just telling you what I'm doing. Like, I'm just I'm not trading Hischier for Karlsson. But I'll give him four players.
I'll take your call, sure.
Yeah.
And you can offer, you know, I think Michael McLeod might be a decent, like a better than average prospect, but I don't know yet. We don't know. How would anybody know?
No, I agree.
Damon Severson, he's signed, I think, at $4.5 million for the next 5 years. I'm interested in him. Nice player. Nice young player. We're not even in the ballpark.
Yeah, but if you're a team that can't sign Karlsson, who's in the ballpark?
Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting until the draft and say, Ray, we'll visit this in the summer.
Okay.
We'll talk about your first-round draft choice, depending on where that is. I'm going to wait to see if the cap goes up to $80 million. That might open up some more teams.
Yep.
Lou Lamoriello's great line, I think it's really one of the best, is if you've got time, use it. They have time with Karlsson. With the other guys, I don't know.
And you know what? That's a fair – I think that's a really – you know, if you have Karlsson, that level of player, you want more teams in it, not less.
Yeah, this can't be a Joe Thornton trade from Boston to San Jose when half the league didn't know he was available.
Yeah, good comparison. And you make a really good point, Ray, about the cap going up, because that brings a lot of other teams into it.
Because the cap going up, the thing we love, of course, is when there's player movement, that will open... I think, open the book to some moves that just wouldn't be possible. I think there's a chance that it's a real interesting draft summer sort of thing.
I hope so, because you know where I stand on this. I mean, I've been saying this for years. I think this is on the desk of the commissioner to try to generate as much player movement as possible, because I think it's smart for business. And if you look at the NBA right now, maybe it's a coincidence, but I don't think it is. Their ratings have been absolutely surging the first 2 months of the new season. And I think it's in large part because they just had the craziest offseason I've ever witnessed a pro sports team go through. I wanted to see Chris Paul in Houston. I wanted to see what Oklahoma City was going to be all about. I wanted to see what the Celtics were going to be. I wanted to see how Cleveland was going to react after losing Kyrie Irving. And their ratings are through the roof. And I think that's smart for business. I don't know how you would orchestrate this into your CBA.
I'll tell you how you orchestrate it. It's real simple. And Adam Silver really did a great job on it. He got a massive TV deal, and the cap went massively up.
Mm.
So that forced a lot of movement. That's the only thing that can happen. That's the only thing Gary can do.
Craig, here's the one thing I would like to see happen, is that in exchange for maybe length of contract shortening, I would love to see, you've got your salary cap, whatever the number is. I'd love to see the each team could take 10% of that cap and exceed the cap on a franchise player. And so if you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you want to, you got 10%. And so you have a, you know, Chicago might franchise Jonathan Taves or Patrick Kane. That comes outside the cap because they have the revenues to go ahead and spend another way. I think that can loosen how tightly everybody is stuck with the players they have.
I like that type of thinking. I do. I think that's creative. And
but they always seem to have a history of worrying about what the owner in Arizona would say about that, or Florida, or Dallas, or Anaheim. You know, this has been a league that I think has capitulated to the lower end of owners as opposed to the higher end. I think the hard salary cap's a perfect example of that.
Last year, there were times that Arizona had more money on LTI, Pronger and Datsyuk, than they did on the ice.
Right.
Could you own a team in certain situations with, like, Legos? That can't be the way. You're right, they do protect them. That's just the way it is, I guess. But it doesn't seem right.
Well, again, the fans are the ones, I think, that end up getting the short end of the stick. I think fans want player movement. They want an exciting offseason. Yeah. It's got to be the NFL taught us this for the longest time. The NFL, they barely play games. When you really think about it, how many days of the calendar year are they actually playing? But it's a 12-month business because there's always conversations about player movement and the draft, and coaches are being turned over year in, year out, and GMs are being turned over year in, year out. And it's got to be a 12-month business.
So quickly to Brian and you, Ray. What has the franchise tag in the NFL done? Has that created some movement for other players? Because now you got a franchise to keep that player and get him, that frees up the other players. That's what you're thinking about, right? You get to keep your best player, your franchise, and right. Other players free up, right?
Right. You take him out. You take his salary out. That frees up cap room for the rest of your roster. And so you throw a tag on the player. He becomes outside your cap. And essentially gives you more cap room to manipulate your roster, i.e. make trades and help create interest. I mean, there's nothing wrong with interest. Interest is good.
Water cooler material is always a good thing. It's always a good thing. All right, buddy. Well, enjoy it tonight. No Matthews. I mean, the Leafs are 5-0 without him, so I guess they have to be feeling pretty good, but...
They, I'm sure they do, but did Babs basically say today, buzz off, I'm not telling you if he's got a concussion or not?
Exactly, which I think is just so, and this is has nothing to do just with the Leafs. I would like to see everyone just be honest and let's act like adults here.
Yeah, he basically, when he said, oh, I don't know about that, there is nothing that goes on with his team that he doesn't know about.
Of course not. Of course not. He knows. And listen, hopefully it's not a concussion. Hopefully it's a wrist or it's a shoulder or I don't know. But if it is a concussion, then I don't think that's the kind of injury you should be playing coy about. But that's the world we live in the NHL. They don't have to reveal anything, so they don't.
You know what he said? You know, day to day means 10 days. So we'll see in 10 days, but it could be day to day.
Or he's playing on Thursday in Minnesota. Who the hell knows? I mean, you really don't know. And especially with this organization, you can't pry anything out of them.
No, not happening.
No. Anyway, enjoy tonight. We'll catch you on TSN 4.
Later.
All right. Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.